Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, give a boy a rope and he'll tie a stray dog to it. We're happy to have the privilege of being with you today. We're glad to be able to study from the Bible. We believe this is the inspired book of God, and we believe that as we study and learn more about it, it will improve our lives before God and our fellow man. The Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now remember that as Jesus went about doing the teaching that he wanted done to mankind, there were always those who were unhappy with him and doing all they could to bring about a stop to the things that he was saying. And so they thought perhaps this lawyer now comes saying, we'll tempt him and we'll get him to trip up some way in the answer that he gives to the question. But his question was something like this, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'd like to stop just a moment and look at some words in that question that I believe are very important. Notice, first of all, what shall I do? And that simply suggests the fact that people of that day, even as we ought to today, recognize that man plays a part in his own salvation. Somehow or other, those who have imbibed in the doctrines of Calvin have gotten the idea that God has done everything for us in regard to the matter of salvation. Frequently, we hear people say, Jesus did it all, and there's nothing then left that I could do in regard to the matter of salvation. Well, this leaves a false impression. It leaves the impression that I am not responsible for doing anything in regard to salvation. It also, if taken to its logical end, would teach that everyone is going to be saved. So if Jesus did everything for all people, then everybody would have the opportunity of salvation. But the Bible doesn't tell us that everybody is going to automatically be saved. To be sure, all are given the right to obtain salvation, but not everybody's going to do it. And so the obtaining of that salvation involves us doing something in our responsible way for our obedience to the will of God. The people today who tell us Jesus did everything are in some manner or other trying to eliminate the responsibility of man in regard to action. Yet the Bible is filled with statements that tell us again and again there is no salvation without obedience on our part. Why would a person try to argue that you don't need to obey God? But basically, that's what that doctrine teaches. When they criticize for telling people what they must do to be saved, they're in essence saying they have a better way, and the Lord's way is not acceptable. His way includes the obedience on the part of mankind, but the way they have in mind excludes obedience and says we do not need to be obedient. Verses like in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Now that's too plain to misunderstand. In the Revelation letter, chapter 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and enter in through the gates into the city. How could you misunderstand that? Those who have right to the tree of life are those who do his commandments. And so the idea of obedience is clearly taught in the Word of God. Could you imagine a person who is disobedient to God expecting to receive salvation? Why would a person think, I'm going to be saved, when he has not obeyed the instruction of the Master? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we have it pointed out to us very clearly that God requires obedience, who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayer and supplication unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus learned obedience to his Father in heaven. You and I learn obedience to the one who is the author of eternal salvation. And so obedience is required. The question that the lawyer asked was not a bad question in this regard. When he said, "What must I do? There is something required of me, and so what must I do?" Don't you remember reading in the Bible on the day of Pentecost that people, when they realized they had crucified the Son of God, said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2 and verse 47. You find the same thing in regard to the jailer in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Why would a person then spend time in trying to convince people that there isn't anything they can do? Absolutely, there's something they can do. Now, when a person talks about this, I'm sure that their motive is this. They don't believe that we can do anything that would merit salvation for ourselves. Well, I'm in agreement on that. But that doesn't mean that obedience is eliminated. They make the mistake of saying, "If I do anything, then I've earned salvation." But friends, that isn't true. Obviously, there's not anything that I could do that would make God beholden to me that he has to save me. There isn't any question about that. God saves me by his grace, by his mercy. But mercy never did exclude obedience to the law of God. When I read about Noah in the book of Genesis, I read of a man who was saved by the grace of God. Very plainly, the book says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But did Noah then have nothing that he could do in regard to his redemption? Well, very obviously he had to do something. He built an ark, didn't he? And that's noted in the Hebrew letter with reference to Noah. Noah, moved by fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It's obvious then that there was something that Noah had to do in order to have salvation. But when Noah built the ark, could Noah say, "Look, God, you owe me salvation now because I built an ark"? Why, certainly not. It was God who came up with the idea of building the ark and gave the instruction. Noah just obeyed. And so in the words of Luke 17 and verse 10, when we have done all that is commanded, we still ought to say, "I'm an unprofitable servant." We don't merit the grace of God. We do not deserve the grace of God. But friends, without obedience, we do not obtain the grace of God. God doesn't eliminate our obedience to his will, but rather demands that we submit ourselves to the will of God. And so the question, "What must I do?" is a legitimate question, and one that we ought to be asking even ourselves today. What must I do? What does God require of me? And then we need to be obedient to whatever those requirements are. We'll continue in our study of Luke 10 on tomorrow's occasion, so you please be with us. In the meantime, we'd like to remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.